You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Revelation and chapter 5. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer and our God and Father again, waiting on Thee. Spirit of God, thank You for Your word, for Your working, for the reality, God, for You to make all of that which comes from heaven to be found even in our heart. And our God, we're going to thank You very, very much. Thank You in Christ's name for the sick, for the weak, God, for all. Help us. In Christ's name, amen. In the book of Genesis, we have the beginnings. The book of Revelation, we have the ending, the conclusion of all that God is going to do and say. So therefore, when we come to Revelation in chapter 5, we find the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, before the world ever was, before angels ever were. We find the Lamb of God, and He's going to go and put the pieces together of all of history. And in the process, He's going to open the seven sealed book, and He's going to open it. He's going to make it all come to pass as predicted and as expected. So when we come to chapter 5, verse 5, "And one of the elders said unto me, saith, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, verse 6, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth." God's oversight, knowing all, seeing all, God, the Lamb. And what are we going to do? God, what is it all about? Revelation chapter 4, if I can. Verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things. For Thy pleasure they are and were created." God in Christ, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God. He's the Lord of lords, as it were, now, and King of kings. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, He's the centerpiece in forever. God in Christ, wonderful. God the Son in Christ, making possible our creation, making possible our salvation, making possible our eternal life, a relationship with God forever. Now, having said that little bit, God is a glorious, glorious person. God is glorious. He can't do anything that doesn't give expression to His glory. So whatever God does is glorious. That is, God is expressing His unique, awesome person in a most, most wonderful way. Now, God is going to do that, and then we share together a thousand times, it seems, sometime, that understand that God, Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, planned in their essence, nature, being, a wonderful, wonderful plan of creation, of which God would be the center. He would have to be the center because He's only God. There is no other. And thus, all that God does is glorious. So God is going to go Himself. He's going to be the sacrifice, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's going to be the sacrifice, the wonderful, wonderful sacrifice. He's going to be the centerpiece of the book He's written. of all that he's done. He's the centerpiece. He's the author. It's all about him in an awesome way. Now, God, that's what I need to see that a little bit afresh. So God, you're going to go and create Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve are going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Genesis 3:15. He gives them his wonderful promise that he would provide a wonderful, he has made possible a wonderful saving grace for Adam and Eve. And they believed God and put on the coats of skin that God made. And they were saved, saved. Cain was not saved. Cain didn't have an interest. It isn't that he didn't know God. Genesis 6, the great multitude of people, it isn't that they didn't know God. It was very clear to them, God. So you don't want to think they didn't know. They were, if anyone knew, they did. But they went because good and evil and Cain would be able to say, listen, God, my father and mother went and believed. They were guilty. I'm not guilty. I didn't do anything. My mother and father did. And besides, look at me. Look at my magnificent being in his humanity. Was no question. Wonderful. Awesome. Intelligence. Skill. Wow. Our skill is based on history of learning and things. They had it instantly in their head to be able to do whatever, to invent the wheel, etc., if needed. Now, so having said that, now God has a wonderful plan, and Cain and them don't believe, but God has provided that plan. The plan is the centerpiece. So therefore, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, God is going to go and outwork that plan. So therefore, outworking it, so the world knows what? The lamb that's going to be crucified on Calvary's cross, that lamb is none other than the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And let all of creation, from Adam all the way to the end of the millennium, let everyone know, because we aren't going to disappear. Let everyone know forever, the Lamb of God. And he made it so public, clear. Now, so therefore, over to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, if I can. And you remember, God is going to go and show his wonderful, wonderful grace to Abraham. Now, Abraham believed God. There's no question. Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. Now, but in the process, Abraham needed to demonstrate not only for Abraham, but for the record. So there's no question. Abraham believed God, and Abraham was a saved man. Now, God, you're going to go and have Abraham's wonderful life, and you're going to include in that life taking his son Isaac, his only son. And you'll remember Ishmael was not the son of God's choice. Isaac was. Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. So therefore, chapter 22, what's he going to do? Abraham's going to go, and God is in verse 1, but it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, put to the proof, put to the test, to separate, to authenticate, proving the promisee. He's going to prove Abraham. He's going to show Abraham's wonderful, clear statement that he is a believer in the God who is only God. Now, having said that, I'm going to put him to the proof. to the promisee, verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. So you're going to go to Moriah. Moriah is Jerusalem, Mount Moriah, the mountain. That's where the mosque, Dome of the Mosque, is. You're going to go. Going to go there. Jerusalem isn't there yet. He's going to go to Mount Moriah, and he's going to offer his son, Isaac. And he's going to offer his son, Isaac, for a burnt offering upon that mountain, upon that place, which is rather significant, to say the least. He's going to offer him there. And Abraham, remember, rose and took his men with him. They came, and then they gathered wood, and Isaac took the wood. And Isaac isn't a little boy. He's able to carry all the wood for the fire. And he goes and offers him there for verse 3. Burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. He's headed there. In the process now, verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac, going up the mountain, up to Jerusalem. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He said, Here am I, my son. And Abraham said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Up the mountain they go. Isaac's going to trust God. Abraham's trusting God. And they're going to go, and God's going to provide a lamb. Isaac is the sacrifice. And they're going to go. And it came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there, etc., and laid wood in order. And bound Isaac, his son, bound up so you can't run around, hands, everything. Bound him up and laid him on top of the wood and went and laid him, end of verse 9, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. Now that's rather momentous. This is the one he's waited for. He's married 25 years. He finally gets his son, Isaac, the one promised one. He gets Isaac, and he's going to go, and there's Isaac laying there, looking up, smiling, maybe, maybe not, looking up, and Abraham goes and lifts his knife up, going to come down, cut throat, and die. There's the lamb sacrificed. But, and he's willing to do that. And you have to understand that event. And this isn't the sacrifices of the idolaters sacrificing their children. This isn't that. This is a wonderful thing for Abraham. Abraham is his promised son. The seed of Abraham is Isaac for Israel. Now, so he's going to go and kill him. Why is he going to go and kill him? Because, verse 8, God would provide himself a lamb. God was going to provide a lamb. Provide. Provision. I see something, I make a provision because I see ahead and I make provision for it. Now, so God's going to provide a lamb. And he believed. He believed. That's why Abraham. Well, God, why does Job and all those other wonderful people, but he chooses Abraham to be the example of faith. Therefore, sliding down if I can, in verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abram, Abram, and he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, from me, from God. Mm-hmm. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by the horn, his horns. You would think Abraham would have seen that lamb, wouldn't you? But if it was me, I think, what am I going to do on top of this mountain? I mean, there's only so much to see. You would think I'd see that lamb, but I don't see that lamb. Till God put it there. And God did that. Now, having said that, a ram caught, verse 13, in a thicket by the horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead in place of his son. And the ram, they sacrificed the ram, and Abraham and his son are going to come back down. Remember that? In verse 6, 22:6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and knife, and they went both of them together went up. And the end of verse 5 now, and I, the lad, will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. I and the lad, I'm going to go sacrifice him, but don't worry, while you guys wait down below, both of us are coming back down. He knew, but he's going to sacrifice him. How can you kill your son and bring him back down? Well, God, because I'm God. God's there. He's going to believe. Are you believing? Are you a believer, Abraham? Do you believe God? I do. God will provide a lamb. I believe it. Hang on. Now, verse 14, and Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is, to look to see, to authenticate, proving God's wonderful person. And God's going to go and provide a lamb, and they're going to look, and you're going to call the place. What are you going to call that place? Jehovah there. Jehovah sees. Jehovah provides. He sees and provides. What does the word provide? Before to see. Provide. God sees. Jehovah Jireh. God sees. Does God see? Yes, God sees. He sees. That's going to call the place. As it said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What's going to be seen? The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That's going to be seen. What's going to be seen? That which is predicted before anything ever was, the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. Wow. That event is going to be then, there, right there. And God, you pointed to it. It's a wonderful thing. Does anyone care? Angels pay attention. Us humans, well, we don't. What do we say? We travel along, and therefore, God, in your wonderful, wonderful grace, you're going to show your wonderful person. Now, having said that, slide over if you can. History's going to go on, and God, what's God? Remember what God is doing, among other things. He's showing the world he's the Savior. Anyone whosoever would seek the Lord with all their heart shall find him, get saved. There's no question. And in the process, the world is witnessing history. And they're all working it, like the people in Genesis 6. They had 120 years to practice the presence of God without believing. Officially 120 years. And that's what they did. But they didn't believe. And here's our world coming to the end, going into the tribulation, coming up. Wow. The world doesn't change. But God. He's God. Everyone has to honor him. He's God. Abraham, do you believe? I do. Over to Zechariah. And here's Zechariah, if I can. And you'll notice, going directly in the light of the context, Zechariah chapter 9, may I please point out to you that Zechariah is living there in the days of Haggai, etc. And he's pointing into the future, because God, as you read chapters 1 and 2 and 3 of Zechariah, he's going to say all these things are going to happen to the nations, like in Daniel chapter 2. But here in chapter 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Why? Why? Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass." So he's going to come, going to come. Abraham, do you believe? I believe. Now here's the history, Old Testament history, gone through history. And God tells him, Zechariah, Malachi, John the Baptist. And Zechariah's told them he's going to come. How's he going to come? He's going to come, like he said, he's going to be riding in the colt, this colt, the son of an ass. Wow. So he's going to come that way. So there's no question. And John the Baptist, Malachi, John the Baptist, 400 years, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is going to come along. What are you going to say, John, in John 1:29? You have to turn there. John 1:29. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And John the Baptist said, "Here he is. This is the Lamb." Abraham, did you believe? Abraham believed. John it was assigned to introduce our Lord publicly to Israel. And he did so. "The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Now, having said that, our Lord went 3 1/3 years into the process of it all. They could see his everything. Over, if you would please, to John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, remember, and John 6, and you will pick up, please, in verse, you'll catch it. Remember, he did the wonderful feeding of the 15,000+ people. And in the process, they were fed and they were kept. They never really cared about other things, but they were so glad to have such a person who had such ability to provide for them, food, healing by thousands. And you never hear, don't read about him. He'd healed, how many? We don't know. I hear a lot of thanksgiving, a lot of anything. They're there, they take it for granted, like people do. Like they took it for granted in the wilderness for 40 years. God's care, they just took it for granted. Now, chapter 6, what did they do because of this attitude? In verse 14, "And then came men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth the prophet that should come into the world, the Lamb of God slain." But they didn't see that part. They didn't see that part. No, they missed that. Verse 15, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." They tried to make him king. They wanted to make him a king. And he didn't allow them to make him a king. He just disappeared. So for 3 1/3 years, he showed his wonderful, wonderful person. He's the Lamb of God. He's like John 1:14. He's the Word become flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. God incarnate. God, here you are. Wow. Jesus, the Savior, the Emmanuel, God with us. But they didn't believe. They didn't believe. They didn't want to believe. They make him king, not because he's God, and because he is king. They wanted to make him king because he could override the Roman rule, the hard-handed Roman rule that ruled over them by Caesar, etc. So the Lamb of God, it's his time. It's his wonderful time. And the 3 1/3 years pass, and he's going to go, and he's going to go, and it's time. Passover, another Passover. But this Passover, it's an ordinary Passover, but it's different. The reality of the Passover, like we did in Sunday school, the reality of the Passover is fulfilled. Exodus chapter 12, the Lamb of God, blood on the doorpost, the Lamb of God is going to be slain. Wow. But they aren't ready for this. They aren't even thinking of this, as it were. So, having said that, and having keeping that in mind, so here's the Passover. Now, what do we know in the Passover from Josephus, etc., etc.? And there were in those period of days, there's 2.7 million people. That was the estimate. That's a lot. 2.7 million. I don't know how they did it. I do it. Million people for the Passover. That's a lot of people. Now, having said that, a lot of people there. And it's just a wonderful time, exciting time. And to add to that, you recall, Lazarus, the Lord has just crossed the Jordan, over to the Jerusalem there. And in the process, what did he do across the Jordan? He healed Lazarus. Lazarus, what about Lazarus? It was a big thing. What was a big thing? That God took Lazarus, a very noted person, among the priests and everybody. Lazarus died. We went to his funeral, but he lives. Lazarus is alive. So here's this going on in the same period, and that scuttlebutt going up and down the aisle. Lazarus, do you know that Lazarus is alive? Lazarus was dead and is alive. He's alive. He's alive. And that's what they did. They were all excited. So you got a big going. And then what are we going to do in this exciting time? Not only is Lazarus alive, the holiday excitement is there. The satisfaction, it's a Sabbath day. Sabbath, that's a Sabbath, holy Saturday, Sabbath day. And they're going to come. And what's going to happen on the Sabbath day? Well, the Lord's going to come. The Lord's going to enter the city on the Sabbath day. That's what he's going to do. He's going to come down up there from Bethage, up there, and he's going to come down the slope, down the slope, down 3,000 feet, approximately, distance, coming down to the gate. Here's the golden gate on the wall of the city. He's coming down, and as he comes down, they're all excited. It's a Sabbath. It's a Sabbath day. And he's going to come, and he's going to enter, coming down the slope. He's going to enter the city, through the gate. Going to close the gate afterwards, but going to go through the gate. Going to go through the gate. That's what he's going to do. Now he's coming down. And I want to think about it. He's coming down. And remember, he's an awesome God, but he's done wonderful things to a world that doesn't want to see. They love darkness rather than light. So here's the reality in front of them, and he's coming down. As he comes down on the Sabbath day, Saturday, he's going to come down. Now, so in the process of that, something happens, wonderfully happens, as he's coming down. He hasn't come into this yet, no donkey yet. He's coming down. He hasn't gone in. So therefore, you got to find the donkey. Over to Luke chapter 19. Luke in chapter 19. Now remember, it's an exciting time, and you'll have to sort of imagine it, because it was an awesome time. And Lazarus, etc. And the Lord who healed Lazarus, is going to enter the city. But he's coming down. So Luke in chapter 19, in the process, as he comes down, you're going to find that, remember now, this is 3 1/3 years have gone by. He's shown forth his awesome person in a most wonderful, wonderful way. He's shown forth his awesome person. So now, chapter 19:28, and when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when it was night, anyway, skipping down for time's sake, verse 30, go ye into the village over against you, and in which you at your entering in shall find a colt tied, wherein yet never a man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thou shalt say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And lo and behold, verse 32, and they went, went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And they were loosing the colt, and as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments on him upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. So he's coming down. It's coming down. And as he went, they spread their clothes on the way, coming down the 3,000 slope, coming down half a mile, a little more than half a mile, and coming down, and they, verse 35, and they brought him to Jesus, and they set their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as they went, they spread their clothes in the way, and they did that. So all of it, verse 37, and when he was come nigh, even unto the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. In other words, everyone caught on as he's writing down, the disciples and the crowd, they caught on, he's going to be king. He's going to come in. He isn't going to come in humbly and turn the temple, clean the temple or something. He's going to come in king. We're looking for him to be king, right? That's what it is. We're excited, all of us. Wow. Therefore, verse 39. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Tell them to shut up. Tell them to stop doing what they're doing. They're making a whole lot of to-do about this. You're nobody. You just remember you're nobody, said the Pharisees, etc. Now, so therefore, verse 40. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, you have to understand all of the wonderful things of science and everything. We know all kinds of ways of finding out things. And God said, listen, if they don't say it, if they don't shout Hosanna, Hosanna means save, save. It isn't praise, not this word. Hosanna, save, save us, save us. It's Hosanna, save us. Okay. So therefore, as they coming down, and the stones would cry out. In other words, if they don't do it, I'll have the stones do it, you know. I'll make anything cry out. I'll make the trees cry out. I can do anything I want. You want them to, if they don't want to, they're doing the right thing. But the Pharisees didn't understand that. Verse 41. And when he was come nigh, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. He wept. He beheld the city, and he wept over the city. Now, and as he was looking down on the city coming down the slope, he isn't in the valley with a gate, he isn't there yet, and he sees it, and he's coming down. So here, looking, he wept over it. He burst into tears, literally. Burst into tears, weeping audibly over it. To weep, to wail, to grief. That's what he did. He wept. Now here they are all celebrating, and he wept. Now you remember the other time he wept, the other time, is in Luke and John chapter 11, where Lazarus had died, and Martha and Mary and the people were all upset, and he wept. Remember when we did that, John chapter 11? He wept. What did he do? He wasn't weeping because Lazarus was dead. He was weeping because they didn't understand. Lazarus isn't dead. Isn't dead. That means if he went to heaven, you can't die. You can't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ without having eternal life. John 17, 3. Therefore, here's Lazarus, and they're all weeping. And he wept because they didn't understand. Remember, he had just told them, John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. I just told you who I am. And now you're weeping because I'm telling you, you don't have to weep. He's okay. All right, you don't understand. Come out, Lazarus. That's what he did. Now, having said that, the stones cry out. Now, having wept, weeping. This time, he's entering the city. Verse 42, saying, if thou hadst known, and you didn't, if you had known, even though at least in this day, this time, the things which belong unto thee, thy peace, but now are they hid from thine eyes. If you just knew what you're weeping about, if you just know what I'm doing, I'm the King, the Lamb slain. The Lamb slain is God coming, not a puppet, not a slave, God coming to give himself to save you. If you just knew that, you'd rejoice, but you don't understand. You don't understand. Therefore, in verse 42, if thou hadst known, I'll read it again, even thou at least in this day, the things which God hath prepared, it belong to thy peace, I should say. But now are they hid from thine eyes. You don't see them. You're missing. You're going to lose out on the whole event. It's just programmed from creation, from forever, from our window, forever. The Lamb has to come. The Lamb has to be. It's the event of all events that makes everything work. Nothing can work. Sin, sorrow, suffering, evil, bad, right? Nations rise and nations fall, the good and the bad. Now, having said that, he wept. Now, sliding over, if I can, to verse 42, he tells them what's going to happen. If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this day, thy day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now are they hid from thine eyes. For, verse 43, for the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee on every side, and they shall lay even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave of thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of my visitation. If you had just known, you would have celebrated, and you don't. So you're going to face Titus 40 years later, 70 AD. He's going to level the city, and Titus did level the city. He said he knocked everything down so it was flat. Flat. He's gonna, because you don't understand. All of it's going to happen. Now, all of it's there because they didn't believe. They didn't want to believe. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, now we're going to come down. We're ready. He's just looked at them and told them, weeping, this, you're missing the whole point. He's now going to enter the city. John, Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew chapter 21, remember now you read that in the scripture reading, and he's going to enter the city. And in the process, as he enters the city, they're going to go and say, Hosanna, and all of that, verse 9. And the multitudes that went before him, that followed him, cried, saying, remember the crowds picked up? Everything hasn't slowed down. No, are they seeing it? No, all they see is, wow, this is the King. This is it. Wow. That's what they did. And blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Hosanna is in the highest. Save us, save us. And when he was come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Now all the city was moved, to be agitated, disturbed, disrupt. There's an English word that will help you with moved called seismic, earthquake. Seismic, earthquake, that's the word. Seismic, moved, earthquake.
Wow.
Up and down, to and fro,
wow.
The crowd was in great turmoil because the crowd came in and here's all these people and this crowd and all of this and say, what's going on? They don't know what's going on. They aren't even near it. So all the excitement, the wonderful, the agitated, and verse 10, the city was moved, quaking, disturbed, saying, in a present tense, who is this? Who is this? Who is this coming in? Now, for 3 1/3 years, but you didn't see him as king, did you? You didn't see him coming in with pomp and high riding. You didn't see him coming in as a king. He came in as the Savior, as a man born in Bethlehem of Judea, out of Nazareth, his family. Wow, he's a nobody. That's how they saw him. So here he comes. Now, having said this, who is this? Who is this? This. Now Moses would say that, you remember. Moses said, who or what am I going to say? What is his name? I want to know. I'm going to go in front of Pharaoh. I'm going to go to the people, and they're going to say, who am I representing? Who sent me? And the Lord Jesus said, it was Exodus 3:14, you tell him, I am that I am. I am has sent you. I am God. G-O-D. I am God, period. Wow. Now, do you tell him that I am? So now, having said that, and the crowd caught the excitement, they failed to pay any attention, and therefore they going to go, and the Lord coming in, he's just a heaven-sent rebel to rescue us, as we shared from Rome. So now, chapter 23. Chapter 23. And may I go in chapter 23? Picking up, please, you'll catch it. Now, you need to get the sequence. Here's coming in on the Sabbath day, and then we're going to go Monday and Tuesday. Remember the day changes at 6 p.m. on the day. So Tuesday at 6 p.m., it becomes Wednesday. That's when they're in the upper room. Monday, Tuesday after 6 o'clock is Wednesday. That's when the Passover, Wednesday, the Passover. I say that to you because we've done that. You understand. To say he was crucified on Friday, man, you've got one pile of problems. And besides, it doesn't say that anyway. Anyway, so what can I tell you? Anyway, so now, having said, but we celebrate. That's why Wednesday, Good Wednesday. We have a Good Wednesday, you have Good Friday. Someone else has Good Monday, whatever they want to have. Okay, now, so in the process, here's 23, and he's looking. He comes in the city, second day, Monday, Tuesday. Comes. What's he going to do? I want to hear him again. He spoke, coming down the slope. He entered the city, and they wanted to know who he was. And now he's coming in, Monday, Tuesday, city. And picking up, please, if I can, in verse 37. I'll read verse 36. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you wouldn't do it. He's telling, they're listening. I would have done this. He's the king. He's the king. They don't see him as king. He's the king. He's come to do the most, what the king does. The king does the bestest thing, mostest. And he goes, he's going to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I came unto you, I would have gathered you as a chicken, little chicks under my wings. I would have done that. You didn't want it. You didn't want to be saved. You didn't want God, God's glorious, wonderful person, to be your Savior and your King. So what are you going to do? Crucify him. We have no what? We have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. They aren't seeing it. They don't understand it. They're just doing it. He's the king. Aha! He's the king. And they should have understood. And probably we could ask the little question right there. What might have been had they believed? What might have been if they had believed? What might have been if they had believed? Now, so therefore, God, I want to ask myself, what, I don't want to, we just did it in Sunday school, moving forward, got to grow. God, I don't want to be what I was. I'm becoming what I'm not. I'm becoming what I'm not going to be in your fullness. So for all of us. So God, when I'm going to, I don't want to, like the Lord did one time. He passed them by. He wasn't really going to pass by, but he wanted them to see so. Are you going to stop God in his working in your life? Are you going to stop God working? As if he'd passed by. And another Easter goes by, another everything goes by. We did nothing. Same old thing. Celebrate and celebrate. And they celebrated Passovers after this for a little bit. And then nothing. Excitement, whatever. Easter eggs and bunnies. That's it. Wow. Now, so, dear friends, in the light of that, putting it together, if I can, they just, God, you're going to demonstrate. Did you demonstrate? I told them in the grand finale who I was. I can't tell them more than that. I came in as a king. I went to the cross. I told them. I warned them. I gave them every opportunity to have to take all of their Old Testament and all of their history and all of that God had given in his word to believe and enjoy it. But they didn't do it. Therefore, they didn't. So what about me, God? What about us? Over to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians. See if it isn't appropriate. What are we Christians supposed to be doing? Believers, believing heart. To be enjoying what? God's wonderful, wonderful grace. And in 2 Corinthians, you remember when we did 2 Corinthians a little bit? And in picking up, please, when he begins the section that goes at length, chapter 2, for 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest, clear, public, plain, the savor, the fragrance of his knowledge. How are we going to have the knowledge of God? By us. Us who believe. Us who are there. He's my Savior and Lord. He's my King. He's God. He's my God and Savior. Wow. Yeah, he is. Someone asked, he's my God and Savior. Who is God? I know who he is. He's my Lord and Savior. Who is God? He's my Lord and Savior. That's who he is. You want to know who he is? He saved me. I'm in his presence. Wow. See there? Wow. We're to show his wonderful triumph. We're to show it. Show it. We're the king's children. We're the king's sons. We're sons, children of the king. But you know what? The world doesn't change. They didn't believe the king. They certainly aren't going to believe the children of the king, but at least the children are there to bear witness to who he is, his resurrection life, to show at least from this day of grace his marvelous, marvelous work. And remember now, you know all these things maybe, but remember them. Remember in the Rome, when Roman Titus and Conqueror, the general, the commander, when they had their conquest, they come riding into the city of Rome, the great city of Rome. And they would make Rome all dressed up with fragrant pots burning with fragrance and fires. And so, and the general would come in his chariot, riding down the street. He's the lead. And as he would lead, go forward, the rest of the troop following him, as it were, coming forward, and he's doing that. And he's coming, wow, he's trying. And that's the word, that's the word. That's the example. That's what they did. That's what they did. Now, what are they doing? And remember, the general, whoever the conqueror was, he could go and invite his family. His family could ride in the chariot with him. So he could stop, his family could get in, and the king's going, the champion, the general's going down the roads of Rome with the fragrance and everything. Wow! And they're sharing. God, Christ, crucified, risen, is sharing what? In your life, if you're saved. Sharing you, riding. You represent his wonderful resurrection. He saved you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful privilege of representing God. You can lay in bed, and God's there, and you're saved. You do work, you do home, you do school, whatever you're doing, and whatever you go, whatever you say, you carry God. God. Not God, not like Nicodemus trying to hide God. No, God, my wonderful God and wonderful Savior. And the king, the world doesn't like it. But God already told you they didn't like it. They'll hate you. But be a little light anyway. And travel down the road and do that. The king was rejected, crucified. The king demonstrates in his children, in his loved ones, in the believing body, the church, his wonderful person, but they don't believe. So what? They don't believe. They never did believe. They could, but what's so wonderful that God has saved us to the uttermost. Heaven came down, and glory filled your soul. Wow. Oh, do you understand a little bit? The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth is going to step forward in his perfect humanity and take over. He's our king. He's our Lord. We're his body. Wow. Our Father and God, help us a little bit as we try to understand all of that which has happened. So give us, help us. Help us, God. It's just us. That's all. It's a wonderful thing. Blind, they can't see. God, may we see. May we gloriously see and understand to know you, to honor you, to thank you. Help us to do so. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convince them that they might receive you as their Savior. God, there's no one else but you. Thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.